everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour with your host, Kate Romero. That would be me, and I'd like to say thank you to Don Newsom and Doug Newsom over at BBS Radio for providing us with Spiritual Hollywood and this wonderful platform to reach everybody and introduce these wonderful guests that we're attracting to our station and to our show. And tonight we have with us the esteemed Brad Yates, who is a certified hypnotherapist. And what I'm going to do is read to you a bit of Brad's bio. He's got a lot of remarkable things going on, and this is a person who's about to go real large in the world. Brad was trained and certified at the respected Hypnosis Motivation Institute in Tarzana, where he served on staff, combining his background with training in energy psychology and various schools of thought in the area of personal growth and achievement. He coaches groups and individuals in achieving greater success, health, and happiness in their lives. Brad has worked with a diverse group of clients, from CEOs to professional and NCAA athletes, from award-winning actors to residents at a program for homeless men and women in Santa Monica. He currently teaches a weekly class using EFT, which, for those who don't know, is Emotional Freedom Technique, and guided imagery at Sacramento Drug Court. He is a co-author of the bestseller, Freedom at Your Fingertips, and has been a presenter at the Walk on Water, WOW, Festival in Los Angeles, as well as several international energy psychology conferences. He has also collaborated on projects with Secret stars Joe Vitale and Bob Doyle. News for the Soul Radio, also on BBS, calls Brad the EFT wizard. Brad's eclectic background includes several years as an internationally performing actor, and he is a graduate of the Ringling Brothers in Barnum and Bailey Clown College. That is so unique, where he was selected to be an MC and a featured performer in the final show. Brad is a caring professional, I can vouch for that, with a sincere interest in seeing people produce extraordinary results. So, Brad, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Say hello.
Thank you so much. And, oh, sorry, I didn't follow direction. Hello.
It's okay. We're pretty loose around here. And for those of you who are listening, thank you for tuning in. And I'd like for you to pull up Brad's website. He has many. But the first one we'll start with, and you're going to hear Brad talking as soon as it pops up. So prepare yourself. It's www.bradyates.net. That's BRADYATES.net is one of his websites. And another of his websites are www.theplottosavetheworld.com, which is a very cool site. And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of words to be incredibly insightful, and seems like Brad has a handle on that. And he also has another website, www.moneybeyondbelief.com, which I'm sure might be the reason a lot of you have tuned in tonight to find out more about that. And he did some really wonderful work with Dr. Joe Vitale, who was on our show on January 9th, who is also one of the stars of The Secret. So welcome, Brad Yates.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So I want to start out with one of the things that you're really proficient at, and that's the Emotional Freedom Technique, which is EFT. And if I'm not mistaken, Emotional Freedom Technique is a sort of emotional version of acupuncture.
Yeah, exactly. It's based on the Chinese system of acupuncture that for thousands of years has said that there's a flow of energy up and down the body through meridians,
mm-hmm.
and when this energy is out of whack, you experience disease and illness.
Mm-hmm.
And a psychologist named Roger Callahan found that by tapping on key points, he was able to release emotional disturbance as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Gary Craig took Roger Callahan's work and developed a simple form of it called the Emotional Freedom Technique. So it's basically a very simple mind-body technique that gives you emotional freedom. So rather than being trapped by uncomfortable emotions like sadness and anger and fear, you can relieve it very quickly.
And grief. That would include grief,
and
right?
Grief, absolutely. Yeah. Any kind of emotion that feels uncomfortable.
Well, you know, I have it that emotion is the precursor to all dis-ease in the body and mind,
yeah.
and that when it's out of whack, it can cause serious physical ramifications.
Yeah, there are people who say that it's, who have said that 95% of all physical disease is caused by stress, which stress can be used as sort of the, you know, word that encompasses all uncomfortable emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, and when we say 95%, we're being conservative.
Yeah, I see. And EFT, the emotional freedom technique, helps aid in pain management, addictions, weight loss, allergies, children's issues, vision, headaches, panic and anxiety, asthma, trauma, post-traumatic stress disease or disorder, abuse, depression, dyslexia, carpal tunnel, anger, ADD or ADHD, fears and phobias, eating disorders of all kinds, OCD, blood pressure, diabetes, neuropathy, fear of flying, claustrophobia, agoraphobia, anorexia and bulimia, sports and other performance, including, would it be able to help in helping people with the art of allowing the things they do want in their life without a negativity attached?
Absolutely. This is my favorite area of using EFT is working with the law of attraction. And I know that you had breakfast this morning with one of my buddies, Mike Dooley.
Yes.
The universe.
We had pancakes.
Right.
There's a story behind that, trust me.
The universe had pancakes this morning.
No, I did. But the universe, you know his notes from the universe, just to digress a slight tiny bit, and we'll bookmark what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you get his notes from the universe,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And everybody out there, go to www.tut.com, sign up for notes from the universe. You will love it.
Yeah.
One night at 2:30 in the morning, I'm working because I can. And I wanted pancakes, and I rarely ever eat them. But at 2:30 in the morning, I was determined to make some from scratch, which I did. But I didn't want to, and I don't eat them usually because they suck up the syrup, and then you end up eating all the syrup that you didn't intend to eat. But you know, they demand the syrup, so you got to put the syrup on. So I almost didn't make them, but I made them anyway. And I thought, I just don't want to put all that syrup. I'm going to be putting a little bit of syrup. So I put some syrup on my pancakes. I came to my computer, started to work. Note from the universe comes in, and what does it say? I'm sitting there, and I'm going, the pancakes soaked up all my syrup again. So I thought, I got to get up and get more syrup. So I look at the note from the universe, and it says, Kate, in life, we have to listen to our calling, and you know you want to put more syrup on your pancakes. I am not kidding.
Yeah. There have been times I've written to Mike, and I've said, okay, you scare me sometimes.
Yeah, and I called my mom at like 2:30 in the morning and just said, Mom, you won't believe this. This is what happened. She goes, well, look for a camera. And I go, oh, my God, I'm not dressed for a camera. So it was very interesting. So when I had breakfast with Mike Dooley this morning, who does the notes from the universe, I had to have pancakes, so I did. That's going to make an interesting chapter in my book. So laws of attraction.
So the law of attraction, you know, these teachers in The Secret talk about, you know, everything is there. The abundance is all around us. It's a matter of allowing it. And then it comes down to, okay, if I'm not allowing it, if it's out there, the universe has already said yes to me. The universe has already said, it's all here for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's happy to give it to me. Then there must be something in me that's saying, no, I can't have it or I shouldn't have it, and has all these reasons why I'm not going to allow the abundance. And all of those are based in the energy system. They're all based in limiting beliefs, uncomfortable emotions, things that have happened in the past. One of the biggest ones is a feeling of unworthiness. I've either decided because of past events that I'm unworthy, or maybe I've had someone in my life say to me, I'm no darn good, I don't deserve anything in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have these negative emotions around that.
And that could be an authority figure like parents who mean well but didn't know that that would have an effect on their child when they said it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gets stuck in there. And I have these negative associations to that. So, you know, we create our reality. So if I create my reality based from that belief, it's no wonder I don't have more abundance.
Right.
So we use the EFT to go in and start clearing out those things and changing the emotional vibration in the body. You know,
so it's like a tuning fork.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We vibrate at a certain level based on our emotions, and we draw to us those things that are in harmony with that. At the end of The Secret, Rhonda Byrne writes on the beach in giant letters, feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use EFT to clear out all the things that don't feel good,
right.
Which leaves us feeling good, which
right.
then activates the law of attraction and the law of allowing and all that good stuff.
Right, right. Are you familiar with Dr. Len and Ho'oponopono?
I am, through
Jovan Hall. Yeah, it's very much like that, where you erase the tapes, you erase the memories that are keeping you from your divinity.
Absolutely.
And it's just another way to get there.
Yeah.
And different things work for different people, and people are, you know, we're all at the place we're at in life right now, which is perfect for each of us, for the path that we're on, and the lessons that we're meant to learn. And when you find the gift, then the struggle and the pain goes away. And these techniques like EFT and Ho'oponopono and even quantum hypnosis, which I do with my partner, my business partner, Alex Schief. Hello, Alex. We do the very same thing. We go in there and with some very high-quality hypnosis and high-energy life coaching and intuitive work and just erase the tapes and bring the person back to their divinity where they're left with only the wisdom from the painful events rather than carrying around the luggage that they were carrying around, which I think luggage, the root word is lug, so you lug around the luggage. I'm just coming up with that right now. That's interesting.
Absolutely. Well, and Mike, I think you heard Mike talk this weekend, you know, talking about nothing bad happens. Everything that happens that seems like adversity is a stepping stone to something.
Yes, it is.
And we don't have to explain it. We don't have to go back and say, oh, well, I was abused as a child because I needed to go through that in order. No. Just clear out the negative emotion.
Yeah.
it happened for whatever reason it happened. The thing is to remove
it's what
that.
What you do with it that,
yeah,
that matters. And you know what that's bringing to mind for me, Brad, is in Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford's character has just fought everybody and their brother. And then he comes up when he's completely exhausted. He's got nothing left. No sword, nothing. He comes up against this giant samurai who brings out a sword, and of course we all think, uh-oh, he's gonna bite the dust now.
Mm-hmm.
But he stands there, and he notices he doesn't have a sword. He can't fight the guy with the sword. So you know what he does? He takes out a gun and shoots
him. Takes out the pistol.
Shoots him.
With a great look on his face.
Wow, and you know, I've used that analogy hundreds of times since I saw that film. It's like, people say, well, I had a dream. There's two guards outside the gate of me reaching my potential. I'm going, well, shoot the damn people. I mean, excuse me, but, you know, I bet everyone speaks French. But that's what I – and it's very profound, and it's true. You don't have to walk over 20 mountains. You can just open that door right in front of you and walk in.
Yeah.
And this is a way to do it with the emotional freedom technique.
Yeah.
And there are many, many, many ways to get there. And I just, you know, for someone as young as you to be up to what you're up to in the world and your intention shows like, no kidding, to have a website that's designed towards save the world is, and what it says is so simplistic. It's just like,
yeah,
you need to take care of you, and
well,
that is the way to do it.
Yeah, based on Gandhi's comment that, you must first be the change you wish to see in the world.
Yes, I said that to Mike this morning, that that's what he is, and that's what you are, and that's what so many people are becoming, and it's such a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, I can't hope to... it doesn't make sense for me to say, oh, this war in the Middle East, it's so awful, they need to put an end to war, while at the same time I'm entertaining violent thoughts in my own life and I'm having violent arguments with anyone else.
Yes.
It's like, how can I possibly hope to see world peace, you know, at a global level when I can't even see it within the, you know, within my own home?
Yes, and you know, on another, what that brings to mind for me is I know lots and lots of vegans, vegetarians, and they are very, very careful what they put in their body.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want any toxins in their body, but then they've got these toxic thoughts.
Yeah.
That they're putting out in the world and into their body and into their psyche. And it's like, I look at that and I'm going, there's got to be a way to reveal that behavior to people without making them wrong in the process,
mm-hmm.
just to bring them the awareness so that they can have the awareness to be response able, to be able to respond rather than react.
Yeah, absolutely. It's getting away from that, the judgmental thing of saying, oh, what you're doing is bad, and rather just saying, you know, there is neither good nor bad. Thinking makes it so.
Yes, Shakespeare.
Shakespeare. Every quote that I come up with seems to be from Hamlet. It's, you know,
love it. There's
maybe because I played Hamlet once. But
yes. Yes, back in past lifetime.
I was an actor in Los Angeles, actually.
Yeah, you know what's funny to me is that I didn't even know you were an actor until very, very recently. And I am a progressive talent manager with a focus on consciousness. And you, if you were still an actor, boy, would you be a perfect client.
I know. Where were you, you know, 10 years ago when I was...
I was in my becoming. I was in my imagining. I was the cocoon becoming the butterfly.
Yeah. Well, that's why I came back in November, and hopefully we're going to do this again in March, doing a workshop called Fearless Acting.
Oh, please let me promote that.
You know,
that would be great.
Where we, and it's at fearlessacting.com, where we put together a workshop just using EFT just for actors. It was a chance for me to come back and say, okay, this is what I wish I had known when I was pounding the pavement in L.A. and using EFT to clear out the limiting beliefs that block us both professionally and creatively.
Mm-hmm.
So
that makes perfect sense. And, you know, I was thinking a while ago of another way to use EFT, because I have all the DVDs and the training, and I love doing EFT for people, for myself. And the trick is remembering to do it, okay?
Yeah.
These things really work great, but if you forget to do it, then forget about it.
Yeah.
But when I remember to do it, it just completely fixes everything. It completely realigns my energy. And what I was thinking would be a good idea, and being your hypnotherapist, Brad, I'm going to ask your opinion about this. I describe what quantum hypnotherapy is with, you know, my client Alex, who just turned 70 yesterday. Happy birthday, Alex. And he looks fabulous, and I'm sure that if anyone saw him, they'd never believe he's that age. But it's not how old you are. It's what you do with it, and he's doing a lot. But with high energy life coaching and intuitive work and high quality hypnotherapy, I'm thinking to add to the quantum hypnotherapy sessions the element of EFT could probably supercharge it a bit.
Yeah, and that's how I started out. I'd been a hypnotherapist for a number of years, and then I learned EFT, and I little by little hesitantly introduced it in, and then it became where I was doing almost all EFT, and I still use some hypnosis in my sessions, but the combination of the two, and I like integrating different techniques like
mm-hmm.
Ho'oponopono.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have people tapping while they're saying, "I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you."
Yeah,
and
isn't that great?
You know, combining these powerful techniques.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. And when I had Joe Vitale on, he explained how whenever he's doing anything, he's come to, and he's writing a book, Zero Limits. Based on Ho'oponopono and Dr. Lin. I have the manuscript. I just received it, and it's awesome. And I want it to be a feature film. I think it would just completely rock the world in a matter of days once it was released. But he has a concept where he says, "I love you" behind everything as a subtext to everything he thinks, says, and does. And I've been going around doing that for this past year out loud 1,000 times a day. If people hear me, it's okay. I just smile and go, "Yeah, I mean it." and it's just, what is the intention behind everything you're doing? And it just takes a little bit more consciousness to come from that place. And it sounds like you come from that place. And if Joe's coming from that place and Dr. Lin and this stuff is getting out into the ether, then there's no escaping it. People are just going to get it by osmosis.
Well, we're all connected. Everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people when I'm doing a teleseminar, I'll say, "You guys are doing the world a favor right now,"
mm-hmm.
because we're all connected. So, you know, if you cut your finger, as your finger is healing, your whole body is healing.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime anyone is doing some healing work, they are healing the planet. They're healing everyone, the entirety of it.
Yes.
So.
And
yeah.
I have a phrase, too, that when you work on yourself and take care of yourself, everybody wins.
Absolutely.
And I truly believe that.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know, if there was a emotional health or I don't know what else to call it, emotional health Olympics, I want the platinum. And that's what I work toward every single day, is being the change I want to see in the world. And I don't teach anything that doesn't work for me first.
Yeah.
And I'm my best project. And it's like any time there's something about to surface that is something that I'm not proud of about myself or I don't want to admit about myself, it's a gold nugget that I'm mining. And when I expose it and exhume it, then I can make something beautiful out of it and transmute it into something that can serve me. But I want to know what stops me. I want to know where my limitations are. I want to reveal those, and I want to transform those.
Yeah.
So that I can do more and have more of my intention manifest in the world, which is, you know, a world that works for everyone, leaving nothing and no one out.
Yeah. Absolutely. Whenever, you know, it's a favor to us when we see something that bothers us, because that's a sign, oh, here's something else that I can improve. I use an analogy, which I actually think that I got from Mike Dooley, is when you look in the mirror, and if you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you see that your hair's out of place, you don't curse the mirror and go, "Oh, look at that terrible hair in that mirror," and then grab
mm-hmm.
the comb and reach over and start trying to comb the mirror.
Yeah.
Because that would be insane.
Mm-hmm.
The mirror is just showing us what about us is not what we want it to be.
Yes.
Same with everything in life. If something shows up in life that's bothering us, you know, a friend or a neighbor or a family member is getting on our case or is acting in a way that bothers us, like,
mm-hmm.
okay, there's something in me, and this is also in the basis of Ho'oponopono.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dr. Len's work in the mental ward is mm-hmm. simply, okay, what is it in me that I am experiencing this discomfort on the outside world?
Yes, and so, I've said that to myself today probably 100 times, and it's so rich with insight that it's almost hard to grasp.
Yeah.
And when you remember to use it, and I just sort of, I gave it up. I just said, okay, universe, divinity, I am giving up doing it right. Here's what I want to say to you. Please forgive me, divinity, for that thing in me that's causing irritation out there. I apologize for it, and I thank you for the opportunity to learn from it. And that's what I say, and I let it go. And then I'm able to get past things that used to make me brew for about 2 or 3 days, and something happened about an hour ago, I'm over it.
Yeah.
And it would have caused me to feel horrible for a few days before, but I just said, you know what, you're probably right. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I appreciate it, and you know, see you next time. But
yeah.
But I just, there's no reason to have conflict, because we are all responsible for everything that we think, do, and say.
Yeah.
And our part in that thing that's going on, once we see that and own that, there's the gift.
And at the moment that we're trying to make the other person get it, we're robbing ourselves of power.
Exactly.
It's like I'm trying, that's trying to fix the mirror and hoping mm-hmm. that I can fix the hair in the mirror and somehow everything will be all right.
Yeah, well, see, so the cause of all negative emotion is just a disruption in the body's energy system.
Yep.
And the mirror is showing us that.
Yep.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit now, Brad, if you're ready, about the Money Beyond Belief that you did with Joe Vitale.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that. Was that a seminar, or what is that?
It's a series of teleseminars. The entire program includes the 2 teleseminars that Joe and I did together, and then there are 2 more teleseminars I put in there with some further things to tap on. And this was based out of when Joe put out his book, The Attractor Factor. He did a series of calls called Attracting a New Car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on 2 of the 4 calls there, and he brought in a bunch of different people to talk about things, including like Tom and Penelope Polly of I'm Rich Beyond My Wildest Dreams, and Randy Gage and a couple of others. So we talked about that, and then after I did some tapping on that call with folks about whatever limiting beliefs and negative emotions might be stopping them from attracting a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, I talked to Joe, and I said, you know what, we could go even further with this whole clearing thing. And he goes, yeah, we should put something together, and I've got a great name for it, Money Beyond Belief.
Oh, that is a great name.
I was so excited about that I then put up websites for Sales Beyond Belief and Golf Beyond Belief.
Oh, great.
So everything's beyond belief for me now.
Yeah, beyond belief. Well, it does imply that it's better than you could ever imagine, but beyond belief, I don't know. I'm going to have to sit with that one because there's biology and belief.
Bruce Lipton, the biology of belief. There's a double-sided thing there. There's when we talk about money beyond belief. There's yes, money beyond belief signifies huge amounts of money. Like, oh my God, there's so much money, I can't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the technical thing of it's the money beyond the beliefs that are holding us back, the limiting beliefs. There's limiting
now,
beliefs.
Now, that I can wrap my mind around.
Yeah, there's limiting beliefs standing between me and the amount of money that I want, and so I'm talking about the money that's beyond that belief.
Okay.
So that's the technical reason for the title.
Yeah, the money and the gap.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Fabulous. So you do a tapping thing with the money beyond belief.
Yeah, we got a bunch of people together, and we just went through a number of the common limiting beliefs that people have. On the first call, we talked about limiting beliefs about money, such as money is the root of all evil. Well, no, that's not what it says. It says the love of money or the worship of money is the root
mm-hmm.
of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
But we take in these things from our childhood, all these beliefs that we have about money, that money is the root of evil, that rich people are selfish or greedy or harmful, and the only way to get money is by hurting people, and all these things that we may have been given by well-meaning people,
mm-hmm.
but misinformed people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've taken this in at a very early age and have a lot of emotional feeling about that. So as we grow up with this idea of money is bad, then, you know, as a grown adult, I'm certainly not going to, I may say consciously, I want lots of money, but inside is a child saying, but I don't want to be bad,
mm-hmm.
so I can't have money.
Yeah.
So we spent the first call clearing out the negative emotions around those old beliefs about money being bad.
Well, that's because kids take everything literally.
Absolutely.
And when you take things literally, they become ingrained in you as like a core belief, and that's what the tapping and also the logic that is in the words you're saying when you're tapping can completely release all of that.
Yeah.
And it's definitely necessary if you want to have a breakthrough.
Yeah.
So that's wonderful. I'm going to read a little bit here from what I found on the website. If you want to create money beyond belief the spiritual way, which is, I would call it the conscious way also, even if nothing's worked for you in the past, give us 151 minutes and we'll show you 9 ancient tasks that lead to breathtaking wealth and abundance, or you don't pay a penny. Now, that's very catchy.
Yeah.
And it says each tap lasts just 3 seconds. We'll walk you through over 217 combinations, but just one of them can transform your relationship to money forever. I believe that completely.
Yeah.
And it says, hard to believe? Let us prove it to you.
Yeah.
So, and that, again, is moneybeyondbelief.com for everybody who wants to check that out. I recommend it. There's certainly two credible sources here that will take good care of you, Joe Vitale and Brad Yates. And Brad, I want to ask you some more about what got you into hypnotherapy in the first place.
Well, the what started me off in what could be called the spiritual path, or conscious path, or however you want to look at it, was when I was 15 and I was starting to get interested in things like ESP and Uri Geller, and my dad said, "I think you're ready for illusions." And he handed me Richard Bach's book, Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah. I don't know if you've ever read that.
Yeah.
It's my Bible.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Such a wonderful book. I've read it over and over. It was great talking to Bob Doyle, who's also star of The Secret, and he said, "That's the book that got me started."
Ah, okay.
And I know a number of people who have that same feeling. And then it wasn't until years later, but when I was an actor in Los Angeles, and my wife was pregnant with our first child, and that's when I started to think, maybe I should have a secondary career.
Right.
And I decided, rather than getting a real job, I went and got trained as a hypnotherapist, because I was always interested in the mind and the power of the mind to create things and, you know, helping people with reaching their goals, especially because, you know, we teach best what we most need to learn. And,
absolutely. I believe that completely.
There I was as a struggling actor needing to reach goals. So the whole thing fascinated me. And so I got involved at HMI and started training. And then I had a practice for a while I was also still an actor. And then I got to a point right about the time that my wife was pregnant with our second child, when I decided, you know, I'm not sure I really want to raise my kids here. I'm not sure that that acting is really the place for me at this moment, because I was really enjoying the career as a hypnotherapist. And just made the decision, okay, it's time for me to retire from Hollywood and put my efforts full-time into this consciousness work.
Right.
And moved out of L.A. and learned about EFT. I'd moved up to the Bay Area, got involved with some hypnotherapists up there, and they were all talking about a conference in Las Vegas. I said, "What's going on there?" I said, "Oh, you have to go. You're going to find out about this tapping." And I went and did a one-day workshop with Gary Craig and was just amazed. And a lot of amazing things happened that while I was there at that workshop. They did a spoon bending workshop that I signed up for, having no expectation of bending a spoon.
Was Nicole Whitney there?
Because
that's her thing.
Right. This was a woman named Marla Brucker who did this, but I know this was some time before, but I know that, yeah, Nicole is definitely into the spoon bending right now. I have her spoon bending kit, in fact.
Oh, great. I'm trying to get one myself.
I know. They're almost gone.
I know.
So I went and, you know, they had two different types of silverware, some thicker silverware and some lighter silverware. And, you know, trying to be macho, I picked up a thick fork the first time, and we did some exercises, and then the teacher said, "Now bend, bend," and I'm struggling with this fork, and nothing is happening, and I'm all upset. So she did a few more exercises and then said, "Now bend, bend," and I picked up a lighter spoon, and it just curled around in my fingers.
Wow.
I'm like, whoa, and I could feel this energy going on. So I picked up the thicker fork, and it just curled around in my finger.
Wow. It's good you picked up the thicker one first then, because you gave it a lot more effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the credibility that something was happening and it wasn't just me muscling it.
Right.
Because I had tried that before.
Right.
So that, on top of having just learned EFT, it was very validating that there is something with this whole energy work.
Well, The Matrix.
Yeah.
The movie The Matrix. There's so many wonderful films out there that validate this also. With,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't even realize that that's what they're watching.
Yeah.
But you know, films like The Secret actually nail it home.
Yeah.
And make it very, very obvious and overt.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for it. I mean, that film is sweeping the world, and should. It's just extremely watchable and user-friendly, and anybody at any level can understand and comprehend it,
yeah.
And every person who watches it ends up feeling better, and it's all about feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, so many things. I mean, it's I loved when I heard about your show. Just the concept Spiritual Hollywood was so wonderful, and it's really a time right now when so many things like Conversations with God coming out as a movie, and I know you said Dan Millman was going to be on, and, you know, his film, his
Peaceful
movie
Warrior.
Just came out, Peaceful Warrior came out last
Celestine
year.
Celestine Prophecy.
Celestine Prophecy just came out.
Yeah.
I understand they're talking about making Illusions into a film.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting to me? There's so much power in declaration that, hello?
Hello.
Do we have a caller?
Hello, could I speak to Dr. Brooks Agnew, please?
Excuse me? I think we have a wrong number on the line.
Oh, okay, someone switched me through.
Don? Hello? Brad?
Yep, I'm here.
I think we should just continue. That was the wrong number. That's so funny.
I guess
there are no accidents. That was interesting. What were we talking about?
We were talking about, you were talking about the power of statement.
Yeah, the power of declaration.
I
was reading the Conversations with God book, Peaceful, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior book, and Celestine Prophecy, one after the other, at this wonderful park up at Lake Hollywood here in Los Angeles, up at this famous dog park. I would go there and sit under a tree and just chill out, and every day was my reward for a hard day's work. Or a hard day's play, and I would go there and read the book, and at the finish of every single book, I stood up and declared to the universe, this has to be a movie, because they all completely rocked my world, and I ended up going to every single premiere and having my picture taken with the writer of each of those books.
Excellent.
When those movies came out.
Excellent.
And that's not an accident. We also have interventionist Jeff Van Vonderen, the show Intervention. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's on A&E. It's one of their top shows.
Mm.
And we are in our fourth season and didn't just win the Art of Making a Difference Prism Award. We won the Art of Leaving a Legacy Presidential Prism Award for that show. And that came about because Jeff Van Vonderen did an intervention on one of my Christian celebrities who was an alcoholic, and you can't even admit you drink, let alone that your body depends on it when you're a Christian. So we had to call in a Christian intervention specialist. We did that. He trained us for a couple of days. He did the intervention on my client. It went great. The next day I said, we have to have coffee. I need to talk to you. And we did. And I said, you have to have a show. This has to be on TV. Not only did I never know there was such a thing as an interventionist, but this could save families and lives all over the planet if it was a television show. So it is a television show, and there's so much power in declaration. And I also believe that synchronicity is divinity showing off.
Absolutely.
And so you know, it's like declare something that you want for yourself that you're working on right here, right now, in front of everyone on the airwaves. Is there something?
Who, me?
You. Yes.
I want to be Ellen DeGeneres' Dr. Phil.
You know what?
That's the intention I've been working on recently.
Wow. That's interesting. But you don't want to lose your hair, do you?
No.
Okay, you gotta be specific.
Yes, be careful what you ask for.
Exactly.
I don't want to develop a Texan accent.
Yeah, well, that wouldn't be so bad, but, you know, you've got a nice head of hair. You want to keep it.
Yes.
If you can. And if you can't, then that's okay. It's just lots of testosterone.
Yeah.
So tell me some of the acting things that you've done. And before we get on to that, I want to take this moment to say hello to somebody that we both are familiar with, you more than me, Michelle Guzzi from the Hypnosis Motivational Institute.
Yeah.
And she was your teacher for a while, right?
She was back in, I don't even know if she'll remember
about
me. I was just one of the,
she does,
one of the plebeians back in 96, 97, but yeah.
Yeah, my hypnotherapy partner, Alex Sheath, is also a student of hers. So somebody, I mean, you look so young, she looks so young. I don't know how you guys have all this experience.
Oh,
all
you
this
are
history.
So sweet, Katie.
No, I'm serious. I can't believe it. She said, oh, I've been teaching 16 years, and I'm going, you look 16. How is that possible? So it's just, I mean, it's amazing. It's obvious when you run into people who are living inspired lives because they look like it.
Yeah.
And they act like it. So tell me some about your acting career now.
Oh, do we want to go there?
I would like to. I'm a talent manager.
Yeah, after coming out of, I worked for the touring theater company, traveled the world. I performed in all kinds of exotic locales like Italy, Australia, Fiji, Waukegan, Illinois. and had a great time doing that. And then after a couple of years of that, I was backstage at the Detroit Arts Institute and said, you know what, I think it's about time for me to move to Hollywood and try my hand in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Within a week, I got a call from a college roommate saying, Brad, I've just got a great two-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. Do you want to move to L.A. now?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I made the move, and then another synchronicity thing, I had gotten an opportunity to be an extra in the film Chaplin.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what, I'm going to find out everything I can about Richard Attenborough, who's directing,
mm-hmm.
so that if I have a chance to meet him, you know, I can talk to him and then maybe get a line on film, get my SAG card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So at that, and my mom recently had told me that a good friend of hers had moved to Arizona and was neighbors with the film director, Brian Forbes,
mm-hmm.
who I didn't, at that point, I hadn't known his name, although I'd probably seen a film or two of his. So I was out at the movie theater, at the movie studio, the Blockbuster store, and I'm going through the movies and trying to pick up all of Richard Attenborough's films. And I see this movie, Whistle Down the Wind, with Alan Bates, who's one of my favorite actors.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and I pick it up, and it's directed by Brian Forbes. And I thought, oh, that'll be interesting, because I knew that my mom's friend was a neighbor of his.
Mm-hmm.
So I plug it into the VCR, and the screen comes up and says, a Forbes Attenborough production.
Oh.
Brian Forbes and Richard Attenborough have been production partners and friends for years. And I'm like, okay, this is just weird. So I mentioned this to my mom, sent a letter to her friend. 2 days later, I get a phone call. This is Brad Yates. This is Brian Forbes. He says, so you're doing a film with Dickie. How lovely.
Wow.
And he contacted Richard Attenborough. And from that meeting, I was able to get my SAG card. So
wow.
I had a bit part in Chaplin, did some a few things. I played a doctor on. I'm not a doctor, but I played one on TV.
I say that all
yeah.
the time. Yes, I was an actor for 15 years as well.
Uh-huh.
That's how I got started. But you know, you completely divine that whole thing,
yeah.
and it's very easy to see that. My first job I ever had was to be a union extra on Top Gun. And I was sitting around for 4 days talking to Tom Cruise, quite frankly, I would have paid them to let me do that, but they were paying me, and I was just not doing anything. So I went up to this lady, and I said, excuse me, I'm not really doing anything except talking to Tom Cruise, and I, quite frankly, would pay you guys to get to do that. So is there anything I can do to earn my keep around here? She said, just go sit down. And I went, well, that wasn't very sociable. And I come from a farm in Kentucky. You know, I come from hillbilly roots. I don't know any better than to get up and ask a question like that.
Right.
Because you earn your keep when you're living on a farm. So I went over to this short guy with a big cigar, and I said, excuse me, the lady over there with red hair told me to go sit down when I asked what it is I could be doing to earn my keep. And, you know, I'm talking to Tom Cruise, and I pay you to get to do that, and I really would like to earn my keep. And he said, oh, she did she? He said, okay, I'm going to give you some instructions. Go to wardrobe and tell them to put on this, this, and this, and then go to makeup and have them do this, this, and this to your hair, and I want you to wear these kind of shoes and this socks and blah, blah, blah. And he says, then come back to me when you're done. And I didn't know that was Tony Scott, the director. And so I went and I did it, and I came back and I said, I'm ready. And they curled my hair and put a big bow in it and made me, you know, very 1940s and put a little tank top on me and short shorts and little socks with ruffles and high heels. And I'm like, well, this is kind of an interesting outfit. I wouldn't go shop at Ralph's with this on. So he said, okay, when I yell action, I want you to walk down the bar and say, ooh, yeah, baby, to all the guys. So, and this was the scene where he was singing to Kelly McGillis,
right.
Tom Cruise.
Right.
And so I did that, and I got my SAG card.
Excellent.
And I ended up being invited to the premiere of Top Gun with Tony Scott and Jerry Bruckheimer. I have a world title in arm wrestling from working on the farm. And when Tony found that out, he wanted to arm wrestle me, so we arm wrestled in the limo. He taunted Jerry Bruckheimer into arm wrestling me also. I beat Tony, but Tony's only, he's not a big guy, you know. And so when he taunted Jerry Bruckheimer, Jerry's going, no, I don't want to. She's just a cream puff. And I went, okay, then fighting words. I didn't care if I arm wrestled you till you called me a cream puff. So we got down on the table in the limo and arm wrestled, and we broke the table. And let's just say I won't remind him of who won when I see him. But I have a world title. So, you know, it's like it wasn't even fair because I don't look like an arm wrestler.
No, you don't.
I weigh 124 pounds, but I can bench press like 250. And it's because I worked on the farm, and it was a great, great beginning for me. But so that's something that I didn't even know I was attracting, didn't even know I was divining, but that was the springboard to all kinds of wonderful things that happened after that, and all of it will be in my book that I'm writing. It's called The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever.
Excellent.
Because the entire world is a stage, and we are all actors upon it. And exactly, again. And the other comment that you made, there's nothing right or wrong, but thinking makes it so.
Yeah.
Even Shakespeare knew back then.
Yeah.
About this stuff. It's been around since the beginning of time. So I love your story about that. Mine is kind of like that. And it's just, all you have to do is have an intention. I wanted to help, and I got to help, and I got to help in a big way.
Yeah, it's stepping up. When I first met Rich Attenborough, he had me walk in as Mary Pickford's escort.
Oh,
when,
nice.
When she first shows up in the film. We shot it a couple of times, but I didn't get but I wasn't saying anything, and I knew I had to say something to get my SAG card.
Right.
So here I am, complete unknown, walking up to Richard Attenborough, a Academy Award-winning director and mm-hmm. a Knight of the Realm, and I said, "I'm sorry, were you going to give me a line here?"
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Later, if I can, dear boy."
Uh-huh.
And it didn't happen, and so I didn't get my SAG card. So as we're leaving that set, I found him by himself, and I went up to him, and I said, and I didn't ask for anything. I just went up to him, and I said, "I really want to thank you for that little bit, and being Mary Pickford's escort. That was really exciting." And he said, "Well, we'll do something else for you if we can."
Uh-huh.
And the company that was doing that was casting the extras called me to have me come in again, and I thought, "Oh, that must be Attenborough had asked that."
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, because his office then called and asked me to come the same day, but as a different character.
Wow.
And that's when he wrote a line for me.
Oh,
and
that's
was just
great.
The sweetest man.
Oh, that's so great. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. And, you know, your whole life, I'll bet you, being that life is holographic, is just that way, in different ways. I mean, every single thing you want, I know you divine it in just that way. Because life is holographic, and what happens in one area can't help but happen in every other area.
Yeah.
You can't become successful in your career without becoming more successful every place else. You can't enhance or improve your relationship with money without also improving your relationship with people.
Yeah.
It's just holographic. And I also, when I coach people, I'm a life coach and career coach as well as, you know, every other hat. I have 150 hats, and I wear them all sometimes all at once, it feels like. But I have, what was I talking about? I'm wearing too many hats.
Holograph.
Yes, but the relationship that people have with money,
yeah.
almost 100% of the time is the kind of relationship they have with people.
Well, yeah, and this is the, in the Money Beyond Belief program, we talk about money beliefs, we also talk about beliefs about ourselves, like I'm not worthy and I'm not deserving.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only does that affect how we relate to money, it affects how we relate to everything.
Mm-hmm.
I do a weekly teleseminar called Tapping into Abundance every Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And people get on, we tap on a lot of issues about abundance, but it covers issues about relationship
mm-hmm.
and health and all mm-hmm. these things, because the same kind of limiting beliefs that can block us from financial abundance may block us from other things. it may be the same kind of beliefs of I'm not worthy that stops one person from having healthy relationships. They may have all the money in the world, but they can't get a date because they have this unworthy feeling. Whereas another person with the same unworthy feeling may have a great love life. They just can't make a dime.
Yeah, and it all comes from the same place,
yeah.
The core belief.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what I find is, and I can detect it instantaneously, any person who has a belief system where they wouldn't want to belong to a club that would have them as a member.
Yeah.
You know that phrase?
Yep.
And I can detect it immediately, and I've become so bold that I'll just say, are you of the mind that you wouldn't belong to a club that would have you as a member? And that's a real icebreaker. You know, it's very bold and courageous of me to do that, and sometimes, you know, I really don't know what the person will say back, but I say it in such a way that it's not threatening and it's not an accusation, it's a question. And just, you know, and if you approach it as a what if this were true, how would your life look? And then they look and they go, oh, it kind of looked like it does now. And it really starts an inquiry happening where you can really start to unravel that thing that's all tied up around a core belief system that's out, that's in a blind spot. And if it's in your blind spot, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You're not responsible for it until it gets into your awareness. And EFT can bring those things into your awareness, yes?
Yes, clearing out these beliefs, you know, that we're separate from source, that we're not good enough. I teach EFT at Sacramento Drug Court. I work with people who are coming out of jail,
yeah,
for nonviolent drug offenses. They're given the option of a recovery program as opposed to more jail time.
Mm-hmm.
And just last Friday, I was having them tap. And while we'll tap on negatives a lot of times, sometimes we'll tap on positives and try to clear ourselves to opening up to the truth about ourselves, which is that we are a winner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm having them tap and say out loud, I'm a winner. And now you got some people in there that are from the mean streets, and they don't want to look uncool.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm asking them to tap to them is just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think that I'm coming in here and having them do this crazy thing. You know, boy, only in drug court would I have to do something silly like tap. And I'll say to them, no, you people don't understand. I have people calling me from around the world to do this.
Yeah.
You know, heads of financial firms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are successful in all kinds of areas of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm having them say I'm a winner. And I'm like, if you can't say that you're a winner, what makes you think anyone else is going to see you as that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to proclaim that. Until you can proclaim that you're a winner, you know, and this is true for anyone, until we can say, I am worthy and deserving of all good things,
mm-hmm.
I am good enough, I am a winner, then, well, we create our reality. If I'm not believing it inside, it's not going to show up on the outside.
Mm-hmm. This is true. And what I also believe is that anybody who thinks they're a failure, they're not looking at the fact that they're successful at not making it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're successful at something. And if it happens to be successful at failing, but if they're successful, so yes, everyone is a winner. And
yes,
if you pull way back from the picture, like if you're an astronaut in outer space, the world looks really small. When you pull way back from the problem or life situation that you're working on or grappling with, it doesn't look so big and overwhelming and consuming.
Yeah.
And you can then start dismantling the belief system that keeps it in place.
Yeah, we are 100% successful at every single moment.
Yes.
It's just a question of what we're being successful at.
Yes, and there's never anything wrong, because every single thing is divine. It's not, I don't believe in random. I don't believe in accident. I don't believe in coincidence. And like I said before, synchronicity is divinity showing off. And that's, you know, a phrase that I coined because I truly believe that to be so. I'm sitting with Mr. Universe this morning, having pancakes with the universe. And, you know, that could be a book in itself, Pancakes with the Universe.
Yes,
and
it is.
And truly, I mean, and that I went to the premiere of every film I declared book that should be a film was and did, and I was there. And anybody can do anything like that all the time. It's just believing it and knowing it and stop disconnecting from your divinity. And the only time we doubt ourselves is when we've forgotten who we are.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
Absolutely.
And the answer is to just regenerate from moment to moment to moment to moment remembering who you are, and that is divinity,
and
pure
remove.
Source, absolutely made in the image and likeness of your maker.
Whole and complete, lacking
yes.
nothing.
And I believe that Jesus came along to remind us of our divinity.
Yeah, and that's what he told us. He didn't say, God is a separate thing and you'll always be less than. God said, I am in the Father, you are in me, we are all together, cuckoo-cuckoo. You know, it's all one.
Yeah.
These
exactly.
things I do, and greater still, you shall do also.
Yes.
I came that you might have life and have it abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that you quoted that very, very well. I would like to, Brad, if you don't mind, at some point interview you for the book I'm writing, because you were an actor and because you're doing the acting seminars. Say that again in the website.
Oh, fearlessacting.com.
Yes. I love fearless. Fearless. That's a yeah. very positive way of saying it. And just to put your voice in there as well, because Spiritual Hollywood is all about using the entertainment industry to help people get back to their true nature and their divinity. And it's such an awesome tool because, I mean, one thought can go around the world in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
With this medium. And I just, you know, can't wait until we're having spiritual blockbusters all over the place and the people don't even know what hit them because they're funny and they're engaging and they're slick and they're filled with insight and pathos in a way that, you know, I'd like to see a spiritual action adventure.
Yeah.
You know, everything is possible. Everything wonderful is possible. And if we can create messes, if we're powerful enough to create messes, then we're powerful enough to create peace and to create all the things that make our world work, because there's many things that work in the world that we're not hearing about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
well, that's what's so wonderful about your show and Nicole's show, and it's, you know, counterposition to all the news that's out there, all the media that's saying, well, it's another rotten day where terrible things happened all over the world.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to start a network called Authentic TV, All Good News All the Time.
Yeah.
And I believe it's possible and probable, and I just declared it again. And it seems like when you declare things, they sort of show up.
Yep.
As long as you see the end result and work towards that.
Absolutely.
So, and as we're approaching the end of the hour here, is there any burning desire of anything that you'd like to say in your heart that you haven't said yet?
Oh, wow, on the spot.
It's showtime.
I want to express my gratitude for being able to be on the show. I mean, it just fell together. So the synchronicity of all of this is mind-boggling. I mean, even though I know this stuff, even though I teach this stuff, sometimes
mm-hmm.
it still rocks my world. It's like,
yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So I'm so grateful for the opportunity to let more and more people know about, you know, not just the law of attraction stuff that is getting out there more and more, but about the kind of tools like emotional freedom technique,
mm-hmm.
you know, Bob Doyle, who has Wealth Beyond Reason and was in The Secret,
mm-hmm.
when we first started talking about EFT, it rocked his world. He's like, this is now a huge part of Wealth Beyond Reason because it's able to clear those limiting beliefs
mm-hmm.
so that when we talk about those things, like you said, declaration,
mm-hmm.
we can declare something that's going to be so, and yet there may be limiting beliefs in the back of our mind that are saying, and here's why it can't happen.
Yeah,
and it slows it down and
yeah.
blocks it in some way, and it's like,
green
oh,
mud.
There's ways to clear that out.
Totally, totally, all green lights. So I want to thank you, Brad, for being our guest this evening. I've absolutely, totally enjoyed it. It's just, you know, remarkable to have people like you out there and going to bat for the world. And like we said, every time a person works on themselves, we all win.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is all about. And I'd like to make a couple of announcements just here, and if you want to hang on for a second, Brad, you can, or if you need to go, you can. There's a wonderful show called Digging for the Truth with Josh Bernstein on the History Channel, and they're having their premiere on Monday, the 22nd, at 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock on the History Channel, and they discovered Atlantis, they believe, and this is going to be one incredible show.
Wow.
Digging for the Truth, we're all digging for the truth, so I do believe that this is a great show to announce on Spiritual Hollywood. And also want to let everybody know that Mike Dooley's World Tour 2, you can find out more about that at www.tut.com. And you're listening to two people who enjoyed his seminar
yeah.
this past weekend. Brad enjoyed it up in, where was it, San Francisco?
In San Francisco.
And I enjoyed it here in Beverly Hills. And
don't miss it. Mike is, besides being a sweet guy, he's really a phenomenal leader.
He totally is. Yeah. Just incredible, and he is a cat's meow.
Yeah.
And I want to say hello to my sister Patricia Rowe, and hello to my mom, and all of my great clients, and congratulations to my client Duncan for booking his Nokia spot today with his daughter Talia, and there's a million other things, but I'm running out of time. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Tune in next week when I don't know who my guest will be, but it's an option between Dan Millman of The Peaceful Warrior, Doug Childers, who is a wonderful author, writer, and writing coach. He's my writing coach, and I can't wait to have him on. Ryan Johnson of Zadz, Z-A-D-Z.com, and also BBS folks Mick and Sylvie. I'm going to have all these next few weeks. So thank you, everyone, once again. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you next week. Be good to each other. Bye-bye.